digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously, I'm 24.
David, I still believe in your presidency. And if Alan Milliken is threatening your ability to lead this country, he will be stopped.
Milliken was driving the car that hit and killed your daughter 12 years ago.
Yeah, I saw Milliken driving the car that night.
Kelly was the only one who saw it. Then Milliken's people got to him.
He'll swear to this?
Yes.
Mr. Kelly?
What is that?
It's a baby.
Yeah, I can see that it's a baby, Kim. Whose baby is it?
Chloe's.
Chloe doesn't have a baby.
Adam just told me you're not the mother of this child. Frankly, I think she's delusional.
She's the only one this office capable of filtering audio streams that Chase is sending us.
If Chloe is unstable...
Look, we don't have an alternative right now. We have got to keep her in place.
Amador will be here in 15 minutes. Confirm that he has the virus, get him his money, and bring the virus back to us. Good job. I don't need you anymore.
It's gonna kill him. Delta team's not gonna get there in time.
Come on, we had a deal.
Chase!
Tony, Delta team.
All we want is the virus. Just put the cylinder down slowly.
We do not have the virus. The cylinder Ramon was carrying was rigged with a bomb. Commodore must have switched it. Do we have a position on him?
Delta has a team on him, Jack. He won't get far.
Hands in the air! Get on the ground!
Jack, Amador ambushed Delta 3. It was a setup.
What about his position?
We lost the signal once the ambush happened.
Son of a bitch. Delta 3's been taken out. They don't have a position on Amador.
What do you want to do?
We gotta find Nina.
The following takes place between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Alicia Cuthbert as Kim Bauer, Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, James Badge Dale as Chase Edmonds, and Dennis Haysbert as President Palmer. Created by Joel Surnow and Robert Cochran. Voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. Jack and Chase scout through the woods around Poster Meter in search of the fugitive Nina Myers.
Jack. It's Bauer.
I have an area lit up past the fire road. Is that you?
Negative.
Check it out.
Be careful.
Chase moves stealthily forward. He heads for the torchlight ahead of him and moves slowly around a thick tree to find a Delta operative sitting dead against its trunk, his torch shining in his face like a Halloween lantern. Nina is ready and waiting.
Stop right there. Drop your gun.
Drop it!
Put your hands on your head.
She points a gun at his head.
You want a two-way with Jack?
Yeah.
Give him a code 6.
I'm gonna reach in my bag, and I'm gonna pull out a two-way.
Slowly.
Jack.
Yeah.
Code 6. What about the light you saw? It was nothing.
Off. Not standby. Go out over here. Who else is on the grid with you?
Just me and Jack.
You're lying. I saw a Delta team.
They went north.
What about Amador?
He escaped with the virus. He ripped off everybody.
All right. Move down the hill.
Where are we going?
Just walk.
Jack strikes Nina from behind.
You okay?
Yeah.
Contact Delta. Tell them to meet us at the airfield.
What are you gonna do to her, Jack?
Interrogate her.
No, he's not.
Shut up! Chase, please. Just trust me.
Meet you at the airfield.
Jack, Amador still has the virus. I can help you track him. The only reason he chose this town is because it's close to the border. He needs to get back to Los Angeles. Once he does, he's gonna meet somebody, unload the virus, and disappear. I I can help you find him. Jack, I don't want to die. Let me help you find him. I can help you.
105. Jack stands over Nina, holding a gun at her head. He considers a moment, takes out his cell phone, and makes a call.
This is Jack Bauer. Patch me through to Almeida.
Almeida.
I've got Nina Myers alive. Any sign of Amador?
No, not since the ambush the Delta team. Once the satellite comes around, we'll do a sweep.
Nina says he's headed to Los Angeles.
You believe her?
I think she knows something. She wants to cut a deal. You gotta bring her back to CTU.
Okay, I'll get a Delta plane ready.
Copy that. Get up. Slowly.
Tony, I'm coordinating too many comms. I need to offload some of it to Adam's group.
Michelle looks back sheepishly.
You have everything?
Yeah.
Look, Chloe, I need to go talk to Chappelle.
For what?
You know what for.
Kim Bauer.
Did you get a chance to update the logs?
Most of them. Look, what's going on with my dad and Chase?
That's why I called. They're headed back to Los Angeles. They lost Amador. We're looking for him now.
What about Nina?
They're bringing her back with them.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, you got it.
Kim hands the baby her toy. 107. Chloe enters Chappelle's office.
I'd love nothing more, but we have to prioritize, don't we?
I understand. We'll keep it.
Yes. All right. Yeah. All right, I gotta go.
Tony said you wanted to talk to me. Here I am.
Sit down.
If you want me to talk about the baby, you're wasting your time because I'm not going to talk about her.
So sit down. Tell me what the hell's going on.
What?
All right. First you told us the baby was yours. We found out that was a lie. Then you tell us you and your boyfriend took it from its mother because the baby was being abused.
I did say that, and I'd like to correct that right now. I don't have a boyfriend.
You're unbelievable. Who does the baby belong to?
I can't tell you.
You brought an unauthorized person into this building. That's a federal offense.
It's just a baby.
I don't care who it is. You're in violation.
Fine. I'm in violation.
Who does the baby belong to, Chloe? Do you want me to take it down to the lab and run blood tests to get an ID? Because I will.
I'm not going to talk any more about this baby. And it's not because I'm a horrible, evil person. It's just because I can't do it. Just please don't start sticking needles in her.
Eileen.
Yes, Mr. Chappelle?
Send security in. I want Chloe O'Brien under guard while we run some tests on the baby.
Right away, sir.
End of part one.
Tony Almeida from CTU has just informed us that they were unable to confiscate this Cordilla virus in Mexico.
I thought they located the cellar and had the entire area surrounded.
Well, the cellar, a man named Michael Amador, apparently he never intended to give up the virus. In fact, it was a well-planned ripoff. David, we lost six men. Members of a Delta team.
We lost a Delta team. This man Amador, where is he now?
Latest working theory is that Amador has this virus and is headed back here to Los Angeles.
To release it?
We don't know, but Amador doesn't have a history of implementing terrorist strikes. He's an arms dealer with no known ideology. Bottom line is we just don't know what his intentions are.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. I finally reached Sherry Palmer.
Is she on the line now?
Yes, sir.
Continue here, Wayne.
Palmer walks into a private office and picks up the phone.
Sherry?
David, I'm sorry I couldn't call you back. I had to leave Kelly's in a hurry.
Would you go back and talk to him after we spoke?
That's just it. When I got back there, he was gone.
Gone? You think he ran?
No, I don't. because he was more than ready and willing to come forward against Milliken. But someone obviously got to him first.
But you didn't see anyone?
No, I ran back to my car and got out of there. I was pretty scared there, David.
Milliken must be on to you. Get back here as soon as you can. It's not safe for you out there anymore.
I really need to do something first.
What?
I'm going to go see Julia Milliken.
No, no. I don't want you to go anywhere near her or Alan tonight.
I have to, David. Alan Milliken had to move fast in order to kidnap, maybe even kill this Kevin Kelly guy. I've got to take advantage of that before he has time to cover his tracks.
Sherry, I do not want you confronting Alan.
I told you, David. I'm just going to talk to Julia. I promise. I'll stay away from Alan.
Sherry.
David, you asked me to help you, right? Please. Let me do that.
110. Jack arrives with Nina at Las Nieves Airfield. A surprise chase waits alongside a U.S. Navy plane.
What happened back there?
She wants to help us find Amador.
Agent Bauer, Mike Murphy, Delta 4. The Navy was good enough to reroute a C-130.
Tell them we said thank you.
We're gonna take you and the prisoner back to Los Angeles.
Any movement on Amador?
No, Air Tactical's been monitoring the entire area. So far, nothing.
Jack, you sure you want to leave?
Secure her.
Yes, sir.
Amador's already gone. He's planned this thing well. We need to find who wants the virus and where and when they're going to release it. We need to go now. We need to leave.
Delta personnel pile into the plane as its engines fire up, ready for the off. Meanwhile, high above the cloud line, Amador sits comfortably in his own private jet. He coolly reaches for his cell phone and taps in a familiar number.
Marcus, it's me.
Where are you?
I'll be there in an hour.
You got the virus?
Yes. Just be ready.
I will be.
Amador relaxes his arm onto the metallic virus case and taps on the lock with his fingers. 116. Julia in her bedroom.
Hello? Julia, I'm almost there. Where's Ella now?
He's in his room.
Is he asleep?
No, he just got off the phone with someone.
Do you know who he was talking to? Did you hear a name?
No.
How do I get to you without him knowing?
The gate code is 4132. Park off to the side, then walk up to the service porch. I'll be there.
All right. What's that number again?
4132.
Okay. Are there any security cameras?
Yes.
Then make sure they're disabled.
Sherry, I don't know if I can.
Find a way, Julia. I'll be there in a few minutes.
Julia slowly puts down her phone and pauses a while. She preens herself in the bedroom mirror before finally venturing through the connecting door that joins her room to Alan's.
You're up late.
Ken called from Singapore. He still hasn't figured out how to calculate the time difference. You should be in bed yourself.
I will. I just put on some tea. I'd like to settle my stomach.
All right, then.
All right.
She pulls off his reading glasses and kisses him good night.
Good night.
Good night. Julia, I know you felt demeaned earlier, but that's behind us now.
I know it is.
Alan Milliken settles down to sleep in his large, comfortable bed. The Navy plane is well on the way to L.A. Nina sits handcuffed around her wrists and ankles. Jack approaches.
I'll let you live. Tell me what you know.
Anytime Amador does business on the West Coast, he washes his deal through a man named Alvers.
Alvers?
It was his first name.
Good. All I know is Alvers. It could be a first or a last name.
How does Amador contact this Alvers?
I don't know. I've never met him. But I did check out Amador before our deal, and I kept coming across the name Alvers. It was a connector to a lot of his past deals, and Los Angeles was always the...
In charge of transportation.
Okay. Chase, you on with CTU?
Yeah, it's Tony.
Tell him I want to speak to him.
Tony, Jack wants to talk to you.
Tony?
Hey, Jack.
I want you to run a check on the name Alvers. Cross-reference it with everything that you've got on Michael Amador.
Is that it?
Yeah. Just the name, Alvers, A-L-V-E-R-S.
You got this from Nina?
Yeah.
All right, look, I'll work it up. I'll get back to you.
Okay, thanks.
Chase tends his wounded hand and winds a fresh bandage. Jack watches him as he offers him back his cell phone.
Keep it. How's the hand?
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Look, Chase, you and I have been through a lot today. Why don't we try and move past it and do our job?
You don't trust me, Jack. Why didn't you tell me about your deal with Hector?
You couldn't go beyond Gael, Tony, and myself. That's the only way I knew I could contain it.
And what'd you think, that I was going to come after you and Ramon? I didn't know whether to save you or kill you.
I expected you to follow my orders. But I probably would have done the same thing myself.
You put a gun to my head. And you pulled the trigger.
I made a judgment call that Ramon Salazar would not give me a loaded weapon, that he was testing me.
And if it was loaded? And what?
I had to finish my mission. Chase, listen to me. You do this job long enough, you're gonna have to make choices. And you don't know you've made the right one until the whole scenario plays itself out. Right now, the only thing that matters is if we don't stop this virus, the world as we know it will change forever. And that fact alone, is the only thing that you have to keep in the front of your mind, and you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you keep pressing her?
She probably hasn't told you everything.
No, she probably hasn't. We're gonna have to wait. Make sure Alvers is a real lead.
Back at CTU, techie Dalton Farrell finds a connection between Amador and Alvers.
4,000 Alvers showed up in the Langley database. I did background checks and consistency refs with Amador. He's the only one that red flagged. Marcus Alvers, born in Austria, moved to England, met Amador in Cambridge, where Alvers was studying biology. In 1994, they were suspected of manufacturing weapons-grade anthrax, but there was no hard evidence.
All right, sounds like this is our guy.
Yeah, the dossier is sketchy, but Alvers and Amador have definitely crossed paths over the years.
CIA had these on file. Over the past 3 years, there have been 14 sightings of Alvers and Amador together throughout Europe and East Africa.
All right, so how do we find Alvers?
We have some threads. We need to work them all up. We're going to need manpower from division.
All right, Michelle, hook them up.
Tony immediately contacts Jack on his cell phone.
Bauer?
Yeah, Jack, we got a match on Alvers. Now we got to find him. It's going to take some time.
Yeah, I'll see what we can do from here. We're on. Looks like the information you gave us on Alvers is real.
Of course it is. CTU is not going to find him before his meeting with Amador. But I can help you.
How?
I know a little more than I said I did. Look, I know there's no time for a signed deal. So I'm going to trust you're going to support my case with the Department of Justice if I help you secure this virus.
You've got my word.
The man's name is Marcus Frederick Alvers. He's an amateur biologist and wannabe terrorist. He raised hell from Vienna to Los Angeles with a 2-year stop in London. I have a number for him. You have to dial a Felco prefix first, and then you can reach him through an internet socket.
Give me the cold light.
Chase hands Jack a satellite phone and pulls out the aerial ready for use.
What's the number?
177-5531. You're gonna get a fast, busy signal, but don't hang up.
I've got the busy signal.
Hit 9 and hold it for 3 seconds. Did you get a tone?
Yeah, I've got a tone.
Hit 95731, *6.
It's ringing.
Okay, when the ringing stops, you're going to get a series of numbers at your IP address.
It stopped ringing. I'm not getting any numbers.
Back at CTU, all systems lock as a computer worm enters the system and brings it all down.
Yeah. The tech room is spiking all over the place. Can you reset it from there?
I don't know. I have to get back.
Adam, what's going on? My system's locked.
Division Tech.
Matt, it's Adam at CTU.
Yeah, Adam, look, we don't know what's going on. Okay, we're blocked up here too. I'll have to get back to you.
Don't need to dial it again, Jack. Once was enough.
What are you talking about?
You just triggered a worm that's going to bring down agency connectivity.
My God, what have you done? What have you done?
Until I say otherwise, your entire anti-terrorist computer network is jammed.
Listen up! We got some kind of self-propagating code leaking in the system. Shut down your sockets. Save everything you can. We gotta find where this thing came from.
All operatives frantically rip the connections out the back of their computers. 1:25. End of part 2. Part 3. 1:29.
What do you mean Nina did this?
She knew our system better than anyone when she worked there. She embedded a worm in a part of the driver that she knew we'd never upgrade.
She told you this?
Yes.
What does she want?
I don't know. We're going to find out soon enough. Look, can your people stop this thing?
We're doing our best, Jack. We'll pull you out of my sector.
She knows our network better than anyone.
It's got to be a problem. He's been asked to step aside.
What are you talking about? Why?
It's a long story, Jack.
Tony, this is not the time to take Chloe out of play. You know as well as I do how many terrorist cells try to hack into our system every day. If this thing eats through our firewalls, we're going to have agents as targets by morning.
All right, what about Nina? Is there any way you can get her to tell us how to neutralize this thing?
I'll start working on it. I'll get back to you.
All right.
What do you want?
Turn the plane around and head back to Mexico. Once you do, I'll slow down the spread of the worm. When we land and I'm safely away, I'll give you the final kill code.
That'll never happen.
How many terrorist cells are waiting for a window like this? A couple hundred? In 30 minutes, they'll all have access to CTU files everywhere. You don't want that to happen. Turn the plane around.
You're assuming our people can't stop this thing.
I invite you to try.
1:31. Tony and Chappelle discuss Chloe.
Believe me, Ryan, I know. But right now, Chloe's the only person who knows enough about this section of code to stop the worm.
Fine. Steve, you can go.
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
There's a worm eating through our network. Nina Meyer somehow managed to launch it remotely, and it's running rampant in the kernel. Tony says you can stop it. Is that correct?
Yeah, if it hasn't destroyed too much of the routing data.
Good. Do it.
Chloe shoots out of Chappelle's office and down the stairs to the main concourse.
Adam, did you close all the gateways?
Yeah.
Reopen 12 and 14.
What for?
They won't leak into the rest of the system and they get us to the kernel. Dalton, start pinging the nodes in IT. When you stop getting packet loss, freeze the process. I'll be in the tech room.
All right.
1:33. And Sherry arrives at the main gate to Alan Milliken's L.A. mansion. She pulls up in her car and keys in the security code. The large iron gate swings open, and Sherry continues slowly up the wide, impressive drive towards the magnificent palatial house. To avoid being seen, she keeps her lights off. As the drive divides to circle around a decorative fountain, she brings the car to a stop and parks in the shadows. She climbs out of the Mercedes and hurries along the drive and across the immaculately maintained lawn towards the quiet house. She climbs over a low wall onto a veranda and approaches the service entrance to the house, where Julia sits waiting, sipping a tea.
Julia,
She taps on the window with her long nails, giving jumpy Julia quite a start.
I'm really not comfortable with you being here, Sherry, so why don't you just tell me what you want?
Oh, come on, Julia. I told you earlier. I know about your marriage. I know about your life. I know that you'd rather be with a man that you love, but you stay with Alan because of his money and the security.
I don't need a drive-through shrink. So unless you have some real reason to be here...
How about murder?
What are you talking about?
A man named Kevin Kelly has information on Alan that could hurt him very badly. An hour ago, Kelly disappeared.
Disappeared?
It's possible he was killed.
And you think Alan is involved?
Oh, sweetie, I know Alan is involved. And you're gonna help me prove it.
Oh. Even if I could do that, why would I?
Because it's your ticket out of here. If Alan goes to prison, you get everything, Julia.
Julia mulls it over in her mind.
What would you need me to do?
Okay, first... I need you to find out what phone calls he's made in the past 2 hours.
Alan makes all his phone calls behind closed doors.
Does he use the house phone?
His cell. He usually keeps it with him. It makes things a lot easier with his wheelchair.
Where's the cell phone now?
In his room.
I need you to get that phone.
No. Alan just went to bed. I'm not even sure he's asleep yet.
Well, then why don't you find out?
I can't.
Don't you want to be free of him?
I'm afraid.
Well, I'm not. Where's the bedroom?
Sherry sneaks into Alan's bedroom as he sleeps. A homely log fire burns in a large marble fireplace at one end of a spacious room. Sherry quietly kicks off her shoes and tiptoes around Alan's four-poster bed as he tosses and turns under his richly decorated quilt and ethnic cushions. Sherry spots the cell phone on the far bedside table and creeps quietly around. She snatches the phone and deftly scarpers quickly and quietly away through the bedroom door. Alan sleeps like a baby. 1:41.
Set the group permission on the beta node to 577 and make it recursive all the way down the tree. I want anyone who's on the cipher volume to stay off until I'm done. Okay. Adam, are those gateways open?
Yeah, of course.
I'm trying to see the virus definition.
I hope you have enough to go on.
We'll know in a minute. It's sad that I have to do this knowing that you and Kim stabbed me in the back.
What do you want me to do, Chloe? When you're breaking rules and then lying about it all over the place, you tell me what you'd do.
I'd have a little faith in my fellow worker.
No, you'd follow protocol. You're the biggest rule freak of anyone.
I think I've done a pretty good job at breaking the rules, trying to protect a friend and that baby, wouldn't you say?
What friend?
It's done. Damn it!
Didn't work.
The world was speeding up.
How is that possible?
We must have triggered something. Open 1 and 4.
Won't that expose the kernel?
Yeah, but we have no choice. Do it.
1:42. Sherry reads off numbers from Alan's phone.
07?
No, 47. Yes, and the last one on here has a 206 area code.
Washington?
Yeah, that's 555-0191.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Oh, and Brian... Thank you so much.
You okay?
Yeah. Just call me. All right.
What are you doing?
I have someone who could track the calls that Alan made from this phone. And if any of them can be connected to Kelly, we have evidence that we can use against Alan.
What should I do?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just go to bed. And as far as you're concerned, nothing happened here.
Julia, why aren't you in bed? And who are you talking to?
Sherry?
Hello, Alan.
Julia, I'm disappointed in you.
I didn't ask her here.
But you let her in, and you took my cell phone as well.
No. I took the phone.
So what do you think you're going to do, Sherry? Stop me? It's not likely.
All right. You want to talk about this in the open? Fine. What happened to Kevin Kelly?
Kevin Kelly? The name rings a bell?
Oh, well, it should ring a bell. He's the man that saw you run over his daughter and kill her 12 years ago. The man you paid a considerable amount of money to keep quiet. And the man you made disappear tonight. So why don't you chew on that a bit? And maybe we can talk about it a little more tomorrow. Or we can end it now. And you can back off, David.
144. Jack downs a drink of water on board the Navy transport plane. He reaches for his cell phone.
Yeah, this is Bauer.
Chloe O'Brien, free, sir.
Fine, pass you through.
Yes, sir.
Chase sits next to Nina.
Nina, I've heard all about you. I know what you've done and how you've managed to stay alive is impressive. But if you try to play Jack one more time, he's gonna kill you.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Jack sets up a large laptop in front of Nina.
I'm gonna put you on speakerphone. About 3 minutes, our entire system's gonna be down. You want any leverage, you better start telling me how to stop this thing now.
It doesn't move that fast, Jack.
You're wrong. Chloe, put it up on the screen. You're running out of time, Nina, to cut a deal. Explain it to her, Chloe.
When I tried to separate the routers on the East Coast, the worm speed tripled.
Who is this?
Chloe O'Brien, my network monitor's up. What do I do?
Log in with user ID CIS27A.
He's asking for a security level.
Hit escape 6.
That's it?
Yes.
Chloe, did that stop it?
No. Wait a minute. It didn't stop, but it's slowing down.
How much more time do we have?
Our simulation says just over 20 minutes.
I'll get back to you.
Okay, so I slowed it down. Now you need to turn the plane around and head back to Mexico. If you don't, you can expect your undercover agents around the world to start dying within the hour.
Yeah, you're going back to Los Angeles. You're going to help me find Amador, and then you're going to prison. That's what's happening here.
146. Milliken's kitchen.
You come into my house after everything I've done for your family? I've made your children's father the president of the United States!
Wait a minute. Whatever you did to help David was not for the benefit of my children. Let's get that straight. You're just a small man, Alan, who lords his money over his friends because that's all you have. That's all you are. Why do you think your wife had to go out and find another man?
Don't you talk to me like this!
Because you're not one. Not one woman in her right mind would find you attractive without your wealth, Alan. That's what people want from you. That's all Julia wants from you. And I'm supposed to be afraid of you? You think I'm scared of you? Oh, you're just a little boy, Alan. A pathetic, scrawny, sickly little boy.
My parents.
No, don't.
What are you doing?
Don't.
Sherry?
Don't.
Julia!
This is your way out.
Julia!
As Alan gasps for air, he clutches at his tightening chest and grabs desperately at his pills. Julia and Sherry look on and do nothing to help as Alan falls into a spasm onto the ground. Finally, Alan breathes his last and lies motionless on the kitchen floor. 147. End of part 3. Part 4. 152.
We watched him.
No, it's over, Julia.
We watched
it's
him.
Over. Shh. Now, Alan was a sick little man. And his weak body gave out. Nobody was around to help him. And you were in your bedroom. You understand me? You're free of him, sweetie. That's all you need to think about. But there's one thing you're gonna have to be really clear about when the authorities come around questioning you. This was an accident.
I don't think I can do this.
You don't have a choice. Unless you want to spend the rest of your pretty little life in prison.
Oh, God.
All right. You go into your bedroom. You stay there for about an hour. Then you're going to come out for a glass of water, and then you're going to see the body. Now, that's your story.
Who do I call?
911. That's what you would naturally do, right? Okay.
What about you?
No, you listen. You listen real strong, because this is very crucial. If anyone suspects that I was here, there will be an investigation, and both of us will go to prison. I was never here. You understand? Julia, you tell me right now that you understand what I'm saying.
One 1:54. As Sherry leaves with speed and ease, Julia painfully skirts around Alan's dead body and tentatively heads for her bedroom. Meanwhile, back at CTU, Chloe and Adam are losing the battle with a computer worm.
Damn it, stop that process. It's making it worse.
Boy, what's going on?
I'm not getting it.
What's it going to take?
I don't know.
Chloe, if you can't stop this worm, then I have to tell Jack to reroute that plane to wherever Nina wants.
Tony, please let me work.
Bauer.
Jack.
Tony, tell me your people got a handle on this thing. We're on final approach.
We don't.
Well, Nina's not going to give us the kill code until we turn the plane around back to Mexico, and I have no intention of doing that.
We don't have a choice. Tell the pilot to reroute the plane now. We have to do whatever it takes to stop this thing.
Tony, that's not an alternative. Tony. Once the damage is done, you're not going to be able to cut a deal. Give me the kill code now.
Jack.
Chase calls Jack over for a private word. Nina looks on, unrepentant.
Think about it. She give her what she wants right now. It's not worth it. We'll deal with her later.
Jack, if you turn the plane around, I can slow this thing down even more. But I'm not giving you the kill code till I'm safe in Mexico.
The aircraft engines surge skyward.
What's going on? We're going back up. Son of a bitch.
Jack rushes to the cockpit.
What are you doing?
I just got orders from Agent Almeida not to land.
He said to take the plane back to Mexico.
Land the plane now. I've got my orders.
Don't even think about it.
Land the plane!
What the hell is he doing?
Oh.
Lieutenant, what's going on? Why aren't you turning this plane around?
Bauer won't let me.
What do you mean he won't let you?
He's got a gun on me.
Put me on speaker. Jack, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Tony, and we're landing this plane in Los Angeles.
We need that kill code. Tell the pilot to turn the plane around right now. That's an order straight from the vision.
We can't keep giving in to her.
Wait a minute. I think I'm getting something.
I can't take that chance. We have to stop this thing, or a lot of our agents are going to wind up dead.
Then our people are going to have to stop it.
We're trying. We don't have the time.
Well, turning the plane around is not going to help. It's just going to take us farther away from where we need to be.
Chloe.
Please, shut up, Tony. Don't bring it back up to 50.
Okay. I'm clear.
What branches?
14 through 20.
What about you, Dalton?
Yeah, it's working. The routers are coming back up.
Are we okay?
I can't tell.
Yeah, here, it's coming back up.
No, stop the process.
But it's cycling through, Chloe. It's almost back up.
It's a defensive ploy built into the worm. It's not what we thought. It's a simple backpop virus. I have to strip out the resource for it.
But look at the CPU. It's almost 100%.
Damn it, Adam, stop. What you're seeing on the monitor isn't real.
Do what she says.
Right, it stopped.
Wait, what's going on?
I think it's resetting itself.
The system reboots itself, and a normal dialogue box pops up on the screen asking for a user password.
Got it.
Jack.
Yeah?
We're back up.
Fully functional?
Fully functional. We're resuming our approach. Good work. You can file a report with your commanding officer.
157. Jack slips his gun back into his belt and marches back into the aircraft hold to confront Nina.
All our systems are up and running.
I don't believe you.
I don't care what you believe.
Realizing her defeat, Nina slumps forward and contemplates her future. Meanwhile, Alan Millican's body lies cold on the kitchen floor. Palmer and Wayne deal with the business of government, while Amador jets his way towards Los Angeles with a deadly Cordillo virus.
Let's check our directories and make sure we haven't lost anything.
Yeah, I'm on it. What about the network volumes?
Let's remount those six at a time until they're all on.
Okay, these all look good. Dalton, how about yours?
There's some dropout, but it'll self-adjust in the next 10 minutes.
Great work today, Chloe. You averted what could have been a major loss.
I know. Are Jack and Chase coming back soon?
Yeah.
Good.
Where are you going?
Back upstairs.
No. This whole thing with the baby isn't going to just go away. What you did here will certainly bear well on your case, but the charges still stand. We're handing you over to LAPD, and no matter what happens, you're going to have to tell them who this baby belongs to.
Who's that? Where are they taking Angela?
That's Child Protective Services has custody of her now.
Oh, no, they can't do that.
Of course they can.
Child Services, hold on!
So what are you doing?
I'll tell you who the father is.
Kim hands the baby over to a woman from Child Protection Services.
Don't ask me who the mother is, I don't know. I was doing a favor. I swear I'm telling the truth.
Barb, we're gonna hold on to her a little longer. We just got some more information.
Why didn't you tell me this earlier?
He didn't want me to tell anyone. I was trying to be a friend. Sorry.
Chloe, I heard you stopped the worm.
Yeah, I did. Your dad and Chase are back in L.A. You must be relieved.
Yes, thank you. Look, Chloe, what about the baby?
What about her?
Well, I thought they were pressing charges.
No, that was a misunderstanding.
Chloe, wait.
What?
So they're not pressing charges?
No.
Why not?
I told them who the father was and everything's okay.
Wait, everything's okay? What? Who's the father?
Chase.
Seeing the look on Kim's face, Chloe quickly scampers up the stairs. 2 a.m. The end.